And now let us move into a time of prayer. Holy Prince of Peace, through our lives you call to us, asking us to live fully into your commandment to love one another, not as we love ourselves, but as you love us, unconditionally. Give us the courage to reach out with that unconditional love, love that is not bound within a day or a season, a love that is a part of our very being. In your name, O Christ, we pray. Amen. So you know what?
What?
Do-over, right? You know what? I love this time of year. I know it's cliche to say that, but I do. It's not the lights that I love, though I love the lights. Doug, I love the lights. The world is a little bit brighter. It's made a little bit brighter because of the lights that we string around our houses and our churches. And it's not the songs either, though I love to sing. And I think that those carols that we sang before the service and the carols that we will sing as we make our way through this season, they put a little bit more of a jump in our step. It's not even the presents that we exchange on that big day that we spend weeks preparing for, though the smiles on the recipients are pretty nice. No, what really moves my spirit during this time of year is how we treat our fellow human beings. We smile more quickly than usual. We give more of ourselves to charities and to one another. Though there is a rush that seems to go along with the commercialism of this season, there are moments when the world slows down, where we can take stock of who we are as individuals, as communities, as a world. I just love that we are so open to the movement of the Spirit in our lives, open to move into those dark places to bring light, moved to bring joy in the midst of despair, moved by the plight of our neighbors, friend and stranger alike. It's just too bad it has to end, right? Come Christmas Day, much of the goodwill seems to deflate, almost like those blow-up decorations we see on the lawns. But to call it the Holy Spirit diminishes that great person of the Trinity. If anything, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And the Holy Spirit deflates, and like so many decorations, it's packed away on Christmas Day. Oh, sure, you'll have a few strange ones who continue with that same spirit of love and giving to New Year's Day, or maybe even into the new year. But like so many Christmas trees, that Holy Spirit, that deep love and compassion, that openness to the movement of the Spirit gets packed away. So why is that? Maybe it sounds jaded and depressing to be talking about how it's all going to end when we've only just started. But it happens every year. We get extra lovey, we get extra givey, extra holy. But why? Is it because of Santa? Are we, like so many young ones, striving to be extra good on that run-up to Christmas because someone is always watching? I'd say that that answer is both yes and no. It's not the man in the big red suit that we're trying to impress, but maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Does anybody know what this time of year is all about? Not the Christmas part, but the Advent part. What's Advent about? Anybody know? Hope, peace, love, joy?
What? Prepare, you just sang it, right?
Prepare the way of the Lord. Be prepared. It is the season of preparation. Preparing for the Lord. And there's really three ways that we talk about that when we talk about preparing. One, we're preparing to celebrate the birth of our Savior some 2,000 years ago. It's a party. Number two, we're preparing for the actual return of Christ. And three, we're readying our hearts for Christ to be born anew within us. That's nice. If it's option number one, I guess I get the excitement and the ultimate deflation, right? I know that on the run-up to my own birthday, I get excited. I get a little happier, a little nicer, because I know there's going to be cake. Because I only get cake on my birthday, right? But that would make sense for Jesus to get more excited, to be more happy, to be nicer, because it's his birthday, not ours. Now, option number two is a little trickier, because we talk about it all the time, but do we actually believe it? I'm talking about the actual return of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. For many Christmases, we read about the stories of Mary and Joseph and the coming of the Christ child into their lives, into their day. But in our scriptures, through this season of Advent, as we walk through Luke, the tone is very different. Christ himself talks about returning to the world, coming back to finish the chapter, to close the book. Now, we read it and we read it. We come and we worship about it. But how many of us actually believe deeply in the physical return of Christ among us, the second coming, as it were? Now, some of you might nod your head yes, and others might shake your head no. But for those of us who grew up into the church, this message has been drilled into us for years. Maybe you don't even know that you believe it. And that makes this whole season and its end make a lot of sense. In some deep subconscious part of our Christian minds, we believe that the second coming is coming. And what better time for the Word to be made manifest than on the celebration of its original incarnation, Christmas Day. So as Advent kicks into gear, we, like those bettering themselves in the eyes of Santa, seek to better ourselves in the eyes of our Savior, that when he or she comes into the world, we might be seen as pure and blameless. But inevitably, Christmas Day comes. The world isn't shaken by the inbreaking of the divine. And so we pack away our holly spirit. We pack away our pious for next year. And like so many Maple Leaf fans, we say, maybe next year. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that the second coming isn't a thing. It may well be. And as my Bible study knows, I am open to being surprised by what God can do. The problem is that we've made God like Santa, who rewards us for good deeds and punishes us for bad. Think about how demoralizing it is for the whole of Christianity when we think of God like that. Every year we try to be good, but apparently not good enough. Because Jesus isn't coming this year. I don't think that's how God works, not really. But Jesus did say that the kingdom was near, and he did say that he'd return one day. The kingdom was near. 2,000 years ago, it was near. When is it going to get here? But that brings us to option three. the one where Christ is born anew in us, one with our very being, guiding us, directing us as we go. That's a great one, right? And that's what many of us say at this time of year, that it's not the physical manifestation of Christ, but a spiritual one. So is that what we believe? Deep down, do we glom on to that spiritual, metaphysical explanation? Or do we just say that as we wait for the real Jesus? Truth is that neither the physical return of Christ or the spiritual birthing of Christ within us is wrong. Neither is wrong. Either could be what Christmas is all about. The problem is, neither one has a chance. Neither one has a chance. Christ said the kingdom was near, just around the corner, he said. That wasn't him saying to wait here while I go get it. He was saying walk around the corner. Christ said he would return, and lo, he stands at the door and knocks. But let's face it, we're afraid. He said the world would be turned upside down with the coming of the kingdom. He said that he would bring a peace unlike any the world had ever seen. Every year we build up the courage, get to Advent, and strive to make the world a better reflection of that kingdom. Then we get to the corner, ready to greet the kingdom. Our hand on the doorknob, ready to welcome Christ. We get to the edge and we're ready to jump. And we lose our nerve. Every year, we lose our nerve. We step back from the edge because it's a long way down. We move away from the door thinking that the knock was just a figment of our imagination. We sit at the corner because that's a street that we've never been down before, and we are afraid. I said earlier about the second coming that I'm open to being surprised by what God can do. But the truth is, I think, God is waiting for us. Dropping the kingdom on us would lead to us tearing ourselves apart. If God just came and said, here's the kingdom, we'd tear ourselves apart. But if we build it, led by the Holy Spirit, if we build it past the New Year barrier, who knows what can be made possible? If we continue that work of the Holy Spirit beyond Christmas, beyond New Year's, beyond January, who knows? In our gospel reading today, we hear the song of Zechariah as he sings to his newborn baby John. The song and his singing are special, not just because he's singing to his son, but because for the 9 months leading up to John's birth, Zechariah didn't speak. He went into the temple and heard this message, this vision of the coming Messiah. And for 9 months, he didn't speak. Now, maybe his voice was taken away by the angel, or maybe he was scared by the vision that he saw, or maybe he was just in awe, surprised by what God can make possible in the world. But for 9 months, he didn't speak. It wasn't until he was holding his baby, his little John the Baptist, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and sang praises to God, welcoming the new, welcoming the scary, welcoming the wondrous into his life. We've been given a message. We've been shown a vision, and we have stood silent for far too long. It's time to truly sing out in praise of God, to open the door and to welcome Christ into our hearts. It's time to turn that corner and make this world that kingdom of peace that we just pray about. May the Holy Spirit guide us in all that we do. May the Holy Spirit give us the strength to prepare the way. Most of all, may the Holy Spirit give us the courage to walk in the way. Amen.